Employment is always a hot topic, and if you are blind or partially sighted, it can be difficult to find your way into the workplace, and often that's down to some outdated stereotypes. Now, not just finding your way into the workplace, but perhaps if you are in work and you begin to lose your sight, you or your employer may not be aware of the help and support that's out there. RNIB's employment service is there to provide all sorts of assistance, and to talk more we have with us Emma Griffiths. Thank you very much for joining us, Emma.
Thank you for having me, Alan. Sight loss should not equal job loss, and I think you've touched on it already. With very simple adjustments, people can retain their employment. Now, in order to do that, it's a case of getting the message out to employers and helping them to understand about reasonable adjustments and about how they make those in order to help retain and maintain talented staff within the workplace.
Now, we often talk about helping people with visual impairments into work in the first place, but we probably don't think a great deal about people working at the moment who start to lose their sight. You know, they may be conditions that they're unaware of, they may be older workers. There's a whole range of reasons why people could begin to lose their sight. And I suppose that perhaps is where the panic sets in for the employee and possibly even the employer as well.
Absolutely. If you look at the fact, I think the figures are 80% of people during their working life will acquire a disability. There is very much sort of a panic around sight loss. So what we generally see happen is that people acquire sight loss. They don't quite know what to do or about reasonable adjustments or access to work or our work-based assessments, and they will resign from their work. Now, what we would like to see happen is more people have a conversation with their employer around their sight loss, and their employer know to contact Access to Work or RNIB for further information, advice and guidance on how to support that employee.
You've had, I suppose, many examples of people finding themselves in this situation. So, you know, if someone does think they're beginning to lose their sight, what should the sort of first steps be?
So what we would like to see people do is initially contact our helpline on 0303 123 9999. They will be put through to a sight loss advisor who will triage the call, understand that person's needs, and if they need further support in retention, they will be put through to an employment advisor within specialist services, and we will be able to provide both the employee and the employer with support in helping that person to retain their employment.
Do you visit the person, speak with the employer? What's involved?
It can really involve a range of things, really. So it could be as simple as having a conversation with the employer over the phone. It may be actually visiting the workplace. It may be that the employer agrees to a work-based assessment where we go out and carry out one of our specialist private work-based assessments. It may be in having that conversation with the employer that they understand more about access to work, how to approach access to work, and therefore encourage the employee to apply for an access to work assessment. But I think it's really important for both employees and employers to understand that we are here to provide support. So it's not just a case sometimes of a one-off telephone call. We can then provide ongoing support in helping to retain that person's employment.
Now, you mentioned Access to Work. That's a government scheme which provides funding for employees and employers,
yeah,
because it covers a range of things like travel to work. It can pay for someone to actually be almost a support worker to do the visual parts of someone's job or help them with that. But I suppose from an employer's point of view as well, it really can help pay for perhaps speech software, magnification software. It almost takes away the burden of perhaps having to pay for new equipment. I suppose some employers may see it as a bit of a burden.
Yeah, I mean, it's important to remember that everybody's situation is different. So until that person has the assessment, you won't be able to say, right, you can definitely have this, you can definitely have that. So it's important to remember that individual circumstances need to be considered. But it's also important to get the message out there about access to work, because at the moment, certainly from our point of view, not enough employers seem to be aware of it and the support that it can provide.
It's such a valuable resource to use to keep someone in a job. For the employer's point of view, if that person left, then they have to pay for recruitment again, possibly more training, you know, bringing on a staff member who perhaps doesn't have the experience of the person who's had to leave.
Absolutely. I think it's really important to help employers understand how in retaining that particular member of staff, you are retaining talent, you are retaining their skills, their experience and their attributes, which sometimes can be incredibly difficult to replace. So it's really understanding the value of that employee and the potential impact of them leaving your business.
We are almost out of time, Emma, and there's a whole load of information we could talk about, but it's probably better if people, individuals, or even employers get in touch themselves to ask for more advice. So what's the best way to do that?
Right, so our message is very clear. Site loss should not equal job loss. And you can get further support by contacting the RNIB helpline on 0303 123 9999. Or going to helpline at rnib.org.uk. And for more information on employment, you can go to rnib.org.uk/employment.
Emma, thank you very much for chatting with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thanks very much, Alan.